Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Come on, church, can we just stand one more minute? Can we just thank the Lord together? Come on, let's just give him a massive round of applause. Let's thank him for his grace. Let's thank him for his goodness. Let's thank him for his kindness. Let's thank him for his faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Go ahead and take your seats. So good to see you all today. Thanks, Beth. It's all happening up here. Well, here we are. It's Vision Sunday. I'm excited to have this opportunity to share with you today. And for those of you that maybe unaware of what Vision Sunday or Vision Month is about, this is a time where we get to focus together on how God is leading us as his church, where he is leading us to, and the assignment that he has put us on. And we don't want to rush this. We're going to take a month over this. Over the next 4 weeks, going to unpack this together. So today I'm going to share with you some of the foundations for this. And then next week, Shell's going to jump up with me and we're going to share with you some of the next steps and some of the practical outworkings of it. But it's important that we take time. We've been thinking and praying into this for several weeks and months now, and we don't want to rush this through because this is about all of us. This isn't about sort of us standing on stage and going, this is what we're doing. We believe this is what we're doing. This is what God is inviting us into and to partner with together. As I said, we've prayed about this a lot. We've listened a lot, which has been important. And what has been fantastic is just how God has repeatedly confirmed his word to us through the voices of many of you in the congregation who sent us, hey, I was just reading this or a certain prophetic word or something that you felt in the spirit. It's been amazing to see how God has just confirmed what he's been doing in our hearts. And we just started to see it everywhere. And as I said at the start, we believe this is the moment to talk about where God is leading his church. And it's so important that we remember that it is his church. And Cheryl and I, we say that we take this moment not lightly, but with great sobriety. It is our honor and our privilege to be stewards of what God is doing in this time. But we very much know that this is his house, that this is his church. Jesus is the head of his church. And he is leading us. And I've stood on the stage and said it before, but it's just increasingly and consistently true. As we've stepped into our new level of leadership, we have just had to consistently learn again and again what it is to follow. We have become better followers for stepping up in our leadership. And so today, I really want to speak from obedience of what God has put in our heart as we press in. So this month we're going to reflect a little bit on where God has led us and the journey that we've been on, which we'll do a little bit of today. We're also going to celebrate. It is good to celebrate, isn't it? Wasn't that the best fashion show you have ever seen? I mean, that was amazing. But it's good to celebrate because we know this in our own lives, don't we? If we don't take time just to stop and celebrate moments and thank God for moments and celebrate, whether it be birthdays or anniversaries or different things like that. If we just keep going, life just keeps moving on. And I don't know about you, but with us, when we watch our kids grow up, if you're not careful, all of a sudden they're just a foot taller than they were. And you just, it's important that you stop and take those moments to celebrate the joy of the journey as a family together. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be doing that over the coming weeks. And of course, we're going to look forwards as well and look forwards to what God has for us. And in that celebration, I loved that opener that we had today. How cool was that? So many just nations and people represented just sat here, let alone those watching online. It's just so good what God is doing. Like the Bible says, every tribe, every tongue, and every nation will come and worship him. Amen? So we're going to celebrate together. And as part of that, next week, we actually have a special gift for you. Yes, yes. We have a gift for you next week, because next week we're gonna take some time to celebrate what God has done in this year and tell you about some of the next steps that we're going to do. But we've got a special gift, which I'm not going to say any more about. You'll have to come to find out. But that's going to help us celebrate together. And one other thing that we'd like to ask you to do to take part in this celebration is we want to put a video together of you. We'd love to just get lots of snippets from all the different, from you all across the whole range of the church, just saying a few lines or a line about what a God has done for you, what he's done in your life, what you've found in him or through being part of this church. And we want to collect those up and just create a video piece that just celebrates what God is doing amongst his people. So today at the end of the service, when you leave out of those doors, there'll be people trying to press gang you in front of a camera. And it's honestly, it's really painless. You just need to say 10 seconds or 20 seconds, 5 seconds into a camera. We'd love to put that together at the end of the month and just celebrate what God is doing. Does that sound good? Okay then. This is life. This is life. We know that Jesus came to give us life and life in all its fullness. And, you know, we are Life Church and we bring the life of Jesus to the world around us. Amen? Yes. A world that, as Matt just said, needs so much needs the life of Jesus. But what does that mean for us now, in this time, in this season? Where is God leading us? Where is he calling us? And I want to take us on a little journey as we step into this together. And I want to take us back to the book of Joshua. Now, last year, a year ago, we spoke from the book of Joshua. And in fact, all through this last year, we've dipped back there again. And I still believe God is leading us through and directing us through his word. So let me just set the scene of where we pick up the story in Joshua. So Moses has been leading the people, and they've seen great miracles. If you remember, the people of God were in captivity in Egypt. They were in slavery. And Moses led the people, and God sent the plagues, and they eventually came out of Egypt, and they had the miracle of crossing through the Red Sea. As the water stood and they marched through, and their enemy was chasing after them, and the rivers came and washed them away, and they stepped out of their slavery, out of the terrible situation that they were in. They experienced miracles, they experienced amazing provision, and God did amazing things through them. And now, they stand on the edge of moving into the promised land. What does the promised land represent? The promised land represents blessing. It represents provision. It represents the fullness of what God had for his people. How many of us know God doesn't just want you rescued? He wants you blessed. And so often we can put our Christian experience to, well, I'm saved, so thank God I'm you know, I'm in Jesus, that's great, but there's more, guys. Yeah. It's not just about making sure we get into heaven, it's about bringing heaven down, it's about experiencing heaven on earth now in this lifetime. That is our assignment. And I believe as we look at that story, there's a new part of the journey of God's people to move into that promised land. And I know we spoke about this last year, but it's still teaching us so much. I believe right now, in this moment, we are in a new moment where God is leading us as the next part of the journey to step into all that he has for us. And there's some great promises in the first part of the book of Joshua. In Joshua 1, I want to read you some of the promises, because I believe that all of these promises are for us still now, today, as his church. Are you ready to hear some of these promises? Every place where you set your foot is the land I will give you. We need to know that, church. There's a lot of darkness out there, but we are going to put our foot down, we are going to move forward, and we are going to see the light of Jesus come into the dark places. Another promise is that your territory will extend. I believe that is again true for his church. Our territory, what is our territory? Our influence, our boundaries, the scope of our reach is going to extend in the season. Listen, no one will be able to stand against you. We might lose a few rounds, but we will not lose the battle. We might get discouraged, we might find some hard things, but we know the one who is in control, the King who is over all things. no matter what comes and stands against us, we will prosper. His promise is that he will never leave you. I love this. It says you will be successful wherever you go. You might not feel it right now. Things might not be happening in the timing that you'd want. Things might not look how you want, but his promise over his church is that we will be successful. In fact, it goes on to say you will be prosperous and successful. Why? Because the Lord will be with you. Amen? And the command that goes with this is to be strong and courageous. We read it in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And the Lord says to Joshua multiple times, be strong and courageous. Why does God tell us things multiple times? Because sometimes we need to hear them. Because there's a lot that they were facing. They were in a time of great change, a time of great uncertainty, a time of great facing, great challenge, but also great promise, which sounds familiar. And God was saying to them, you need to be strong. You need to be courageous. Do not be afraid. There is so much fear in our society. Oh my gosh, so much fear. Whether it's financial fear, just the hopelessness that we see all around us. So many things that are just, the enemy wants to pile fear on us. It says, don't be discouraged. It's so easy to get discouraged. We can look at the need in our world and just find it so overwhelming. But God has a plan. And God is with us. And it's not time to shrink to those things, but it's time to be courageous. The enemy wants us trapped, but we're not, are we, church? We're going to be strong and we're going to be courageous in this season. As we move forward into Joshua 3, there's this special moment where they're getting ready now to move into the promised land, to cross over the waters, just as they did before with Moses, and they crossed through the Red Sea. Now they're going to cross the Jordan to take them into the promised land. And it says this in Joshua 3, verse 3. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before the crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. This is what they said. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And then as the story goes on, we won't read it all now, but later we read how the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, and they stepped into the waters, and the waters stopped flowing, even though they were in flood. It would have been a huge river at this point, and the water stopped, and the people again walked through on dry land, an absolute amazing miracle to step into their promise. So what were they to do? They were to be bold and courageous. But the second thing is that Joshua commanded them to consecrate themselves. Interesting word. It's not a word that sort of we use a lot. What does it mean? It kind of means sacred, to be set apart. And Joshua is saying, the Lord is going to do amazing things. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to understand that you're a set apart people, that you're a holy people. So I need you to dwell on that. I need you to think that. I need you to go and set yourselves right with God. I need you to understand that you are set apart for a purpose, that you are God's holy people. You're not just any people. You are God's chosen possession. And as we think about today, that word just jumped out to me. And I really want what I'm going to share. And as we get on this journey together, it's not just practical things that we're going to do. It's about our heart. It's about all of us getting into that covenant that God is asking us to enter. When God is saying, this is what I'm doing, he's looking for a people who said, here I am, Lord, send me. We are your people, Lord. He's not just asking us to take part in new programs or events. He's asking us to say, is your heart going where I am going? Where is the Lord leading us. And so part of that, just really practically, as we think about that, this week on Wednesday, we're going to have a prayer meeting together. On the 7th, now our prayer team do an amazing job. They meet every Wednesday, but I'd love us to all, as many of us as possible, to gather this Wednesday. We're going to have an hour of power, 7 till 8, okay, this Wednesday. It's 7. 7 till 8, we're going 7 till 8, an hour of power. That 7:30 is just highlighting the middle part of the prayer meeting, which will be really powerful. So we're going to go 7 till 8. So on it, please, if you can, let's get there together. Let's gather around what God is doing because he wants to speak to us. And then the other thing that we're going to do today, I'm not going to show you the other side of this because it gives things away that I'm about to say. But on your way out, we have these for, I think we've got enough for sort of for every family in here. This is a prayer diary. And I'm just going to ask that there's just a heading for each day. So for example, for tomorrow, our prayer is for revelation and wisdom. I'm just going to ask that we all just each pray into these things. Maybe stick this on your fridge or in the glove box of your car. Don't close your eyes while playing, while driving. But let's be together in this and step in and listen to God, because I really believe that through this, there is a sense of deep calling to deep, the Spirit of God calling to our spirits, not just about what we do, but about who we are and where he is leading us. So we're going to do that together. We'll give you those at the end of the service. Okay. So God is asking us to be bold and courageous. He's asking us to consecrate ourselves, to be ready for what he is going to do. And then the final part of this before we lay some foundations, this is all context, is that verse that jumps out, and I read it slowly with emphasis, which is, since you have never been this way before. Now, I find that phrase interesting because they've kind of done this before. They were brought out of Egypt through the waters. God parted the waters and they came out and they were going in that direction. So they kind of have been this way before. They came from over there and they're going this way. But I believe God's saying, but there's always new in him. Yeah. I know you've seen amazing things in the past. I know God's done amazing things before, and it might be like that. And I'm going to be honest, some of the things I'm going to share, you're going to go, okay, we kind of knew that. We're not pulling a handbrake on, pulling a U-turn and going in a completely opposite direction here, guys. We're going to carry on the journey of what God has asked us to do. But there's something new in it. And in that newness, as I read that, I felt it was so important to just be aware that we have to follow what God is doing. It reinforces that sense that this is a new part of the journey. This church has been going since 1976. I'm sure that through that, there's been different parts of the journey, different sections. And each time God said, I'm doing a new thing. Yeah. It's a fresh thing. It's a fresh move of God, which builds on the one that's gone before. And we're grateful for all of those that have gone before us. We're grateful, those of you that were here at Soul Night, as we pray together with Pastor Steve and Charlene. It was just an amazing time together. Because why? Because we're standing on the shoulders of what has gone before. But God has something new. He's got new provision, he's got new blessings, he's got new mercies, he's got new power for the day ahead. And I think it's important that we realize that context, because we really, in the world around us, we've had at least 2 years of transition. Many of us had never used that word before until the last 2 years with COVID, obviously in our leadership and our staff in here, but just people in the church. The church has changed so much. Let's be honest, some of the people that you were sat next to 2 or 3 years ago have moved on to a different place now, and you're sat with new people. There's been so much change. There's been economic change. There's been change in our society. People's priorities, people's desires, people's plans have changed. The world has changed. And as I was thinking about this, I was drawn to this scripture, and I think it's important that you listen to everything that I say about this scripture rather than take it out of context. So I'm going to start here. It says in Isaiah 43, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So many things I love about this. The command is see. God's doing a new thing. The important part is that we see. It's springing up. We have to perceive it. We have to buy into what God is doing. And what is he going to do? He's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. There is no way in the wilderness, but he is going to make one. There is no provision in a wasteland. There is no provision in some of the wastelands that we see in the world and in society around us, but he is going to bring streams of refreshing. He's going to bring streams of provision. And the interesting part is at the start of that, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And what I want to say about that is, I'm not sure we should take that as literally as it's spelled out there. Because if we go a few verses back, we go to verses 16 and 17, just before it says, this is what the Lord says. Who is he? He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, talking about when they came out of Egypt, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to be seen again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. And then it goes on to say, forget the former things. That's a bit confusing. Why is it telling us all about the former things and then say, forget the former things? And I believe the answer is because it's not saying, let's forget them like they never happened. I think it's saying, don't dwell on them. Don't camp out on the victories of the past. They were amazing. God has done amazing things in and through this church. Can we just thank God for what he's done in through this church? The people that have been saved and baptized, the people that have been released into ministry, the churches that have started, the ministries that have sought, I mean, so many things. So, but I don't believe God's saying, like, forget all that altogether. No, we should take confidence. We should take heart in all that's gone. But let's not camp there, because he has new things for us. Let's not look at the past and go, oh, our greatest days are behind us. We can't do that anymore. God's saying, no. Your greatest days are ahead of you. I've got amazing things for you there. God is doing a new thing. Amen? Amen? And so as we step out into this new, that phrase, you have never been this way before, has become really, really precious. So what is this way that he is leading us? And this is where I'm going to make a little bit of a confession to you, okay? Today, we've called Vision Sunday. The reason we did that is we didn't want to confuse you, because many of you know what Vision Sunday is. Much of what I'm about to talk about, though, is actually mission. Now, there's a reason for that, because vision is when you have a clear picture all laid out of the future and to say, this is the thing that, or the area that God is calling us to build. Yet, as we stepped into his word and as we read those scriptures, we feel that God is saying, this is the way I want you to go. The thing is with the way, you know where you're going roughly. We know where we're heading. We know what God has for us there. But I think that's what God wants us to focus on in this time. To not be so concerned about the destination, but rather to do what he is asking us to do right now in this season. You see, the thing is sometimes with a vision, if we hold up a vision, we can go, well, that's not really me. I'm not sure what my part is in that. But God is saying, no, before, and we do have, God is revealing that to us. But I think right now in this season, he's saying, but this is for all of us to embark on going his way. And so really what I want to share with you is more a mission, more of the mission than it is the vision. This is, I want to share with you our pursuit. What it is that our focus is on. I want to share with you what I believe our assignment together is in this season for all of us together as his church, but also for us individually, because I believe God is calling us to partner with him and to leave the results up to him. Yeah. God is saying, you don't worry about that. If you do what I've called you to do, you are going to see amazing things. Amen? Amen. Okay, so here we go. The mission that I believe God has been speaking to us about, and this is, as I said, come through a lot of study and prayer, and I kind of feel in this that we have been more archaeologists than engineers. Let me explain that. And rather than trying to build something new as engineers and go, well, what's the blueprint? Let's build this. I feel like we've been more archaeologists, studying what God has already laid out for us. And, you know, sweeping things, sweeping the sand aside to try and uncover. And some of those things are in the history of our church. We've had some interesting conversations about how this church was founded and formed and the journey and the arc of this, the journey the church has been on. And we very much feel that it's our time together to carry on that journey, not to start something new, but to carry on the legacy that we follow. And so with that, there's some words and a picture that came to mind. And the picture I want to share with you is, have you ever been to a lake or a pond and you throw a rock in? Why is that so satisfying? And you start with the little one, don't you? And then you get bigger. And by the end, you're like, come on. But when you throw that in the lake, what happens is these ripples go out, don't they? I think we've got a picture. We've seen this before where you throw something in the water and the ripples start to expand out. And as I thought about that picture and the words God has given us for this mission, he's given us three concentric rings that I want to share with you. I'm going to start with the middle ring, then the second and the third. And here's what I want you to understand. They're all important, but there is an order. Just because it's the first one is first doesn't mean it's the best, doesn't mean it's the most important. They're all important, but there's a causative effect. They all depend on one another. You can't throw a rock in the water and go, I'll have the first ring and the third one. You can't miss one out. It happens. Neither can you stop them. You can't throw it in and say, I'll stop at three rings. No, the rings are going to keep on going. And so I want to share with you these three rings, which I believe is the mission that God has asked us all to embark upon. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. The first one is this. We are called to grow disciples. That's the first one. That should be at the center of everything that we do. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm aware that we've chosen the word grow rather than make, which is in the Bible. There's a reason we've done that. It's because this is an active process. And we've gone with grow because it's continual. Often we put discipleship with what it means to for somebody who's newly saved, but you don't graduate from discipleship. We are all disciples of Jesus. That is the calling of our life, to be changed from glory to glory, to be more and more like him. And it starts here. It doesn't say go into all the world and make converts. Go into all the world and get hands up. Now that's important because that's where it starts, but that is contained within this. You can't make a disciple unless somebody makes a decision for Jesus. But it starts by knowing him. That word actually make, when you expand it out in the original text, it means to know him, believe in him, and obey him. So that is to grow in him. Disciples of Jesus, with Jesus at the center, everything stems from him. And it's not about what we do. And this is where we can get challenged, because we relate our discipleship and our depth of God to our busyness, to our attendance, how high we lift our hands in worship. And as a pastor, shouldn't I like all of those things? Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's the motivation of where it comes from. If it comes out of a sense of obligation, that's one thing. But when it comes from an overflow, that we're just so in love with Jesus, so of course I want to serve, of course I want to give, of course I want to lift my hands in worship, of course I want to pray for people, that's got to be the motivation. It's important. We've got to grow in our pursuit of him, being transformed, so that in the good times, he gets all the glory, and in the tough times, we know that he is our hope, he is our stay, he is our anchor, he is our firm foundation. We learned a lot through COVID, didn't we? And one of the things COVID taught us is what happens when the event of church is gone. And what's really sad is there are people who aren't here now because they walked away from their faith. Now, church and our gathering on a Sunday has a huge part to play in that. But church should be spurring us on. It shouldn't be what sustains us. Our relationship with Jesus should be what is sustaining us. So let me be clear, we are going to continue to have amazing Sunday services where we seek the presence of God and we pray and we believe together and we worship and we get into His Word. That's not changing. We're going to do that. But we are as much His church in here as we are out there. And it's so important that we press in as disciples. I'm going to speed on. Disciples are those who are pursuing Him, living for kingdom purpose. We each have a responsibility, but we also have a responsibility to one another, to disciple one another, to share, to grow one another. It's a challenging question. Who am I discipling? I'd love us all to be able to answer that question. Who is discipling me and who am I discipling? That should be at the core of who we are, and that is our mission. It'll lead us to the next ring in just a moment, but my prayer, I want it to be our prayer and our pursuit that here at Life Church that everybody can say, I am growing as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We haven't got all of this sorted. I'm not presenting this to you because we've got this nailed. I'm presenting it to you because this is going to be our pursuit and what we go after, and that is the center circle. Okay, circle number two, are you ready? Your second circle is this. Our mission is to create community, to grow disciples and to create community. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but you are fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Amen. We are being built together for the glory of God. God is building us together for His glory to display Himself through you. We are not called to walk alone. We are called, there's so many pictures and we've studied some of them over recent times, that we are called as a body. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We're called to live in community, to be connected together. We are designed for relationship. If you speak to any mental health professional, they will tell you how important relationship is for good mental health. And we go back to that picture in Acts. Remember the early church and they met together. Where did they meet? In the temple courts, but also in each other's homes. And it's so important that we did that whole series on the art of table living, that actually the church gathered around a table. This platform, this is a big table where we can all gather today and feast from. But where's your table? What table are you laying for people in your area, in your society, in your community? Let's be those that share life. Why? Because we're called to love and to be loved. We're called to encourage and to be encouraged. We're called to challenge and be challenged. We're called to support and be supported. We're called to model community. Our world is so divided. Just go on Twitter. Oh my gosh, it's so visceral, but this quest to be inclusive has actually led to so many agendas, divisions, and camps. Why? Because people are now, they're so focused on what we're against rather than what we're for, and the things that divide rather than the things that put us together. We're defined by what we're against, the whole cancel culture and taking sides, and it's rough. We're more connected than ever as people, and yet loneliness is absolute pandemic proportions. We are called to model community. And I love that we started this service, all those different nationalities, but I look around the room and I am so blessed that this church is full of young and older, black, white, everything in between. We are a diverse body, and it's a beautiful picture of community. So I think part of this is that renewed commitment really to his community, because community also comes with corporate responsibility. If we're in a community, that means that we have to put ourselves in. We need to serve, we need to give, we need to, you know, the a lot of that context of the family of God was written in a strong group culture where people understood the importance of family. We live in a much more individualistic culture where it's much more about me and what can I get, but that the context is much more, what can I do to add value to the whole? And I think there's a call back to that. The other thing that community does is it creates gateways. The more areas of community that we can build and create and touch will allow more access points and gateways for people who think, I could never go to church. I'm not religious. How many people say that to you? Think, I'm not either. But they don't have other words for it. So how many access, when it comes from creating community together. And all of this, the fact that if we are growing as disciples of Jesus, and we're all playing an active part in his community, you cannot stop the third ring. It will happen. And that is that we will impact society. And like I said, all of these are so important. One is not more important than the other, but at the center, we have to be growing disciples. We're created for community together, but from there, we can impact society. Let me remind you, Matthew 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. That'd be crazy. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We are called to live not for ourselves, but with eternity in mind, living with purpose and living to meet the needs around us. And it could be viewed that when I started by saying disciple, growing disciples is at the center, that could seem insular, but it's not. Because we need to be strong. We need to be planted in community so that when we step out into the world, we know who we are. Because there is enough darkness out there. But I tell you what, if your light is strong and you step out and then we all put our lights together, the world cannot contain what the church can do. And this is, as Matt started alluding to earlier, our city needs Jesus. The enemy loves it if we can just come in, sing our nice little songs, just pray for one another, go home and be the quiet. No, no, no. We are called to be the head and not the tail. We are called to influence society. People should be looking to the church, and they are, for the answers, because we have the answers, but it needs our boldness and it needs our courage to step out into what he's calling us to. We live in the youngest city in the UK. Yeah, just let that sink in. We're one of the youngest cities in all of Europe, actually. We're the youngest city in the UK, and yet our child services from the government are failing. That's not a personal comment. They've had an Ofsted, and our child services in the city are failing. And the local government are working to put things in place, and there's a new structure there. It gives me no joy to say that. It's not a political statement. And we should be praying for our councillors. We went and met with our CEO of our council just a few weeks ago, again, to express support and how we can help. But this is the thing. The need is increasing, and the finance and the ideas from the government are decreasing. Enter the church. We need to step in. And so one of the things that I haven't got time to share it with you today, but one of the things that we want to do is we want to develop our family center so that we can use play as a gateway for people to access, families to access the services they need. And we're going to partner with all kinds of different agencies to provide support and the services people need that they're not accessing in other ways. We've got a lot that we want to share. We've had some miracles and breakthroughs and on that already. But our impact together can be great. Yes, we're going to continue with our conferences. Why? Because think about Excel. We want to see these men of God growing as disciples. We want to see them in a community that strengthens one another. Why? So they can go and impact the world for the glory of God. We've got a new worship conference and a worship training day in our heart that we're going to tell you about. We've got new songs in our heart. We've got changes to college that are going to help us go wider with our impact, but we'll tell you more about that next week. But here's the other thing. It's not just about what we do together. This mission is about you. Because God has called you to impact society where you are. As an accountant, as a solicitor, as a shop worker, as somebody in retail, as somebody at college or university. This isn't just that's good that we're all doing this. No, we are all doing this individually. This is what he is calling us to. He needs us to step up and take our place in society, whether that's in politics, whether that's in finance, whether that's in education, whether it's in the arts. And I believe that as we grow as disciples of him, planted in community, we will be strengthened to go out and impact the society for him. This is the lens that we're going to look to. And I want to land it here because I know I've been speaking a while, but it's important. I just want to make sure this is clear today. I want us to imagine that. Imagine if everybody in here and all those that are to come, because I think as this grows, we won't have rooms to contain this. Because if we are growing as disciples in purpose, full of the fruit of the Spirit, full of his life, so that when the storms of this world hit us, we aren't even rocked and people are looking at you going, I want to be like him. I want to be like her. And we can tell them about Jesus. And then we're planted in a community that just so represent God's heart, that we're strengthening one another, that we're spurring one another on, that we're challenging one another, causing one another to live with eternity in mind, to live with the true purpose that he has called us to, not to just get distracted by the shiny things of this world, but to do what really matters and put kingdom first. And from there, we are going to impact this world like never before. Whether that's in our workplaces and in our homes or through what we can do together corporately, the ripple of this can go on and on and on and on. Just this morning as I was praying, I wanted to pray this over you. It's a scripture from Isaiah that Jesus read, and I believe it's for us again today. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Why don't you repeat this after me? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. To proclaim that this is the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. 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 And now you see why I say, I don't fully know what this will look like on the other side, but I know it's going to be amazing. I know God's going to meet us there with his provision, with his power, with his goodness. And so I'm asking us, church, can we be bold and courageous in this time? But can we consecrate ourselves and get focused in? Let deep call to deep. Let's get captured in our spirits. Let's join together for prayer and be praying. And here's the thing. What is he saying to you about this? Maybe it might be something he's telling you for the church, but what is he saying to you about growing as a disciple, about creating community, and about impacting society? That is our assignment together. Come on, let's stand together. We're going to pray. I'm going to invite Cheryl to come up and pray as well. Pray first or second? Oh, Father God, we thank you for this day, God. We thank you for this beautiful church, this amazing community of believers. God, we thank you that you've called us together for this time, for your purpose, God. And Holy Spirit, we ask that by your power, you would speak to our hearts. That you would speak to our hearts and our spirit, Lord. That we would carry what it is you want us to carry. That we would embark on this assignment, Lord, with hope and with faith and with joy and with excitement, God. We can't do it on our own. But we thank you that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this house, Lord. There's such a sense that the soil is ready, that we're stepping into something new. And yet, Father, we talk about the promised land like it's something, you know, that they just stepped into. They didn't. It meant battle after battle and actually being bold and courageous, like you'd said, and stepping into it. In fact, they didn't actually get the whole land because they didn't take some of it. Father, let us be people who stand in courage and boldness, Lord, to take all the land that you have for us. Father, Corinthians talks about running this race, that we run this race with purpose, that we run this race like we're going to win. Father, we thank you, God, that it tells us to train with discipline. Father, let us be those, Father, that train, Father, that prioritize and pursue your presence like never before, Father, that we would shift distractions, that we would shift, Father, any fear, that we would shift, Father, anything that stops us, Lord, from prioritizing and pursuing your presence, Jesus. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Father, we consecrate ourselves, Lord. We thank you that we are a holy people, not because of anything we've done, Lord, but because we have this incredible proximity to you. We have the Holy Spirit within us. So we thank you, Lord, for your boldness and your courage in you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the lifter of our head, Lord. And we thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.